We've chosen as a subject, since we're by Anglesey, as we're thinking about what to speak about and all the things going on in the world, we've entitled our comments, The Restless Sea. I could have called this, The Seas and Waves Roaring, but I thought that was a little bit intense for a morning service. Let's look at the word sea, or in the Greek, yam, Y-A-M. That's from Strong's number 3220 in Strong's, yam, Y-A-M. It's used several ways in the scriptures, so we're going to kind of lead up to what we want to have the main focus of our thoughts expressed today, which they'll be. If we look at Genesis 1:10, and you know this one, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And the Lord called the dry land earth, and the gathering of waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Now reading another one, Jeremiah 5:22 from the NASB tells us, for I have placed the sand as a boundary for the sea, as an eternal decree. We're going to use, though, as our theme text, several verses from Psalm 65, and it's really going to be verses 5 through 7. Psalm 65:5-7, this is going to be out of the King James Version. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea. Verse 6, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. And really the most important verse from our study today is going to be Psalm 65:7. Psalm 65:7, which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. And a hint, this restless sea, the tumult of the people, ungovernable masses, the sin-sick, sin-weary world of mankind. This is what we're going to be thinking of and bring out as we go on in our study. Now, if you look at the Mediterranean Sea in Deuteronomy 11:24, it's called the Uttermost Sea. It's also called the Great Sea, the Sea of Joppa. Paul often traveled on this sea. Seas and oceans and any great water courses, such as lakes and rivers, are used as borders. As with the Nile, Euphrates, and in the States, we have the Great Mississippi River, borders between states and so forth. And I'm sure you do here have the same type of thing in Australia. When the Promised Land was divided among the tribes of Israel and a portion given to Judah, the sea was used as a border. We have this recorded in Joshua 15:5. Joshua 15:5. The east border was the Salt Sea, even to the end of the Jordan. And the border in the north quarter was from the bay of the sea to the uttermost part of Jordan. And the description continues in Joshua 15:12. The west border was to the Great Sea and the coast thereof. So, again, we have these references. In Joshua, we mentioned the Salt Sea, the most ancient name for the Dead Sea, also known as the Sin of Araba, or Plain. Now, we realize also that in the scriptures we have in Genesis 14:3, the account concerning Abram delivering Lot, who had been taken captive in the area around Sodom and Gomorrah. And we're told that all these were joined together in the Vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. We realize that a great victory would come upon Abram. And after this victory, we know that he had a visit by Melchizedek. Melchizedek would come and say, as recorded in Genesis 14:19, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And also we realize that Melchizedek represents our Lord as a glorified priest and a type of Christ, head and body. the body glorified, and King of Salem. As that king, he signifies the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace of the Most High God. And you know those scriptures from Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end. And that's upon the throne of David. To order it and to establish it with what? Judgment and justice, henceforth, even forever. We see these things that fit together according to the plan of God. And really, this event in the life of Abram was so significant, very significant, because the Abrahamic covenant had been formed with him in Genesis 12, 1 through 4. I'll make thee a great nation. I'll bless thee, make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and thee and thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And it's confirmed in Genesis 15, 1. When the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Well, let's go back, though, to the theme of our lesson. Seas or oceans depict a vastness, a power, and often beauty. They're often very deep. In the case of the Mariana Trench, out in the Pacific Ocean, which is over 36,000 feet deep. Sorry, I can't convert that to kilometers. It's deep. Very impressive. Even more so when we read in Psalm 36:6, Thy judgment are like the great deep, O Lord. And I would even say that God's love for us is deeper than that. It has no end. There's no bottom. It's so deep, deeper than the sea. And of course, so important to think that His love comes upon us. He directed Abram in his efforts. He'll direct us if we trust in Him in all things, as we know. It's so important. As we look concerning the ocean, there are many uses. Obtain food for the seas, commerce, travel, leisure activities, recreation, exploration, at times for warfare. Invasions of countries during warfare have often been staged by sea, even in our own country, of course, of the U.S. Wars themselves were fought in in a discussion of the waves fed by or moved by mankind's desire for power over others and dominion. They're moved by that. Wars have been fought for supremacy of the seas. And we realize also mankind has used salt from the seas to preserve food, used for trade, even as a source of money and wealth. Nations have explored oceans and sources of energy. We know that the nation of Israel was a pioneer in developing desalinization plants so they could have fresh drinking water. And it's used throughout the world now. And I know I've missed a few uses, brethren, but what do you think of when you think of the sea or an ocean? When you visit the seacoast, we had the privilege of going to Noosa Head, and my brother-in-law Byron's favorite, Byron Bay. And do you think of freedom? Do you think of the beauty of God's creation? Do you think of peace and rest? Perhaps you think of life. You look at that ocean and you know it's full of life. Perhaps you thought about the sound of the ocean waves, which can be very soothing or restful. Maybe the waves and the sound remind you of great power. Now, have you ever thought about the color of the sea? Does the sea have a color? Water is actually colorless. What happens or appears to our eyesight, referred to the deep blue sea, for instance, it's determined by the degree, the angle of the sunlight, the sky, the amount of cloud cover, sometimes wind, other factors such as the depth, or even organisms that live in the water. Sometimes the ocean may appear blue, gray, green, white, red, or even black. If you look at that beautiful sunshine, that sunlight, made up of all the colors of the rainbow, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. Just briefly, let us look at these colors as they're represented in the scriptures. Red, the ransom. Remember, the priest had that scarlet string in their robes, always to remind them of the sacrifice that they were to be made. And of course, that represents our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. It's brought out in Hebrews 12:24. Look at orange, God's favor to all mankind. Really, we have that expressed in Psalm, the 8th chapter. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Yellow or gold, from Psalm 68:13. We know that refers to the divine nature, immortality. Also then, a call to sonship. If you're faithful, you have this wonderful crown of immortality. Blue, faithfulness of God. Exodus 28:31. So when I see blue, in the sky or in the sea, I'm thinking that God is faithful. Faithful is he that called you. Faithful is he that will fulfill these things according to his timelines, his plans and purposes. And one more, indigo, which is really violet or purple, from Proverbs 31:22. Proverbs 31:22, royalty. Royalty. And we realize that what lies ahead of us, if we're faithful, will be that wonderful experience of being with our Heavenly Father's dear Son in heaven. Now, with these references in mind, it's no wonder that light is used throughout the Scriptures to symbolize our Heavenly Father and His Son. And all these colors found in light originate from the Father, the source of everything, but come down to us through His Son. And let's just mention one other verse, because we're going to have a wonderful presentation on your theme text about light. Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings or beams. So light stands for truth and righteousness, and Jesus is the great center. He's the Son. And truly then, we can say, blessed are our eyes, for they see. Never take for granted your physical sight. And never take for granted your spiritual vision, your spiritual sight. It must be protected, because then if you do that, you have a clarity of vision. And realizing that your life has purpose, it has a meaning. And you can use these things to please the Heavenly Father. Again, we began our discussion with some comments about the seas with references to that extreme depth that can be found. There's a reference that we want to bring out. It's Proverbs 8:24. Proverbs 8:24. And mention the pre-human existence of our Lord as a Logos, and these words apply. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. Before the mountains were settled, I was there. The true Son of God had seen the Father's mighty works. He marked his wonderful wisdom. He shared in that creative works. Remember, nothing was made without him that was made. He experienced the Father's love. And we have that scripture. All things were made by him. And that's what we alluded to in John 1:3. Also in Hebrews 1:2. In Hebrews 1:2. In these last days spoken unto us by his Son, when he hath appointed him heir of all things, by whom he had also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of the person, and upholding all things, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, as heir of all things. And again, he will be representative of the Father and his love for all eternity, including those precious promises of God's word. Now let's go on with our discussion, brethren, because we know time will flee by quickly. We all know, as we mentioned, as we've seen the seas, the oceans, that there are waves. Jude 13 talks about, as we mentioned, raging waves of the sea, but not only that, foaming out of their own shame. We know immediately that pictures are involved with our consideration of the waves and seas. The restless sea of humanity. This sea is never calm. Seas are constantly in motion. It's referred to the ebb and flow of the tides with respect to the pull of the moon. There are currents. There are upwelling of the water from the depth, which is cooler. Perhaps at first glance, a sea may seem relatively calm, but much is taking place out of our immediate view. This upwelling also brings nutrients closer to the surface, so that which was not seen is now being able to be utilized. Now, take mankind, for instance, the restless sea, the upwelling. Thoughts are brought into the minds of many. Falsehoods, false systems, false leaders, sin, degradation. All these things will be revealed and nothing is going to be hidden. It's being brought to the surface. And these ones, fallen human man, feeds on that. So, always in motion, and at times moving out of control, have we observed firsthand? Brother Richard mentioned it. Tidal waves, tsunamis. You call them tropical cyclones here, and we call them hurricanes in our northern hemisphere. And we've seen firsthand the destruction. The residue that is left behind serves a reminder of change, costly damage, loss, infrastructure destroyed. The region of the area, you would not recognize it. We had recent hurricanes in Florida in our panhandle. Pristine beaches, beautiful places. Trees were leveled for 40 miles. I'm not sure how high the ceiling, again, I think in feet and not in meters and so forth. There was a wall of water pushed from that storm surge. Remember, it's out there churning. Am I going the right way? You're spinning the other way, right? Okay. It's churning and it's building. They'll say it's building, it's churning out there in the Gulf or the Atlantic. And then it pushes this mighty wave, 45 feet high. Three or four times the height of the ceiling. 15 meters. Imagine that. Overwhelming everything. I saw a peninsula that we had visited, a beautiful beach. You could drive on it, walk on it. It's now in four sections. It's not going to be restored. And so we see that destruction, costly things, damage. And those effects are long lasting. Also, if you've been down to the beach, you see the foaming or lesser effects of the wave action, which also could be considered to be destructive. Waves strike the land, they carry away the sand with erosion. And again, we have beach reclamations projects. I don't know if you have that here. They're pumping the sand back to the beach, but it doesn't solve the problem. It's only a little fix. We call it a Band-Aid solution because that effect lasts, that the waves had been there. And the next storm is going to come, and it's going to wash away more. So, we know this is the form, as I said, erosion. And I think it has an application to the erosion of our society and its morals. You can fix that beach for a little while, but the underlying causes are still there. You know, the waves, the water. And so, in our physical environment, we have that change. Once again, an idea may come in and erode the morals of people, the things that are pure and good and pleasing to God, gotten long away from those. Recent events that have occurred in the world demonstrate this to us. Lifestyles and beliefs that are contrary to God's word are now looked at as being the norm. They look okay, all right, acceptable in the sight of God. If you're leading a normal life, married life, and so forth, you look, wow, you're really unusual. It's not the norm anymore. Don't we see that this upwelling, the changes, social climate, mankind hopefully is learning the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Difficulties that arose, again, they're all over the world. Europe, social unrest, discontent with jobs, leaving what's it called in England when you, the league that they have, they're trying to get
Brexit.
Thank you. And again, history is full of civil unrest, race riots, labor and union riots, food riots, anti-draft and war riots, political riots, anti-police riots, peace demonstrations that turn out to be nothing very peaceful. So we see this ebb and flow, the foaming, the waves coming through. Troubled youths, extremists, white supremacists. Again, open defiance, harmful acts of violence to fellow man. And it kind of involves in that mob mentality, and it just continues to grow and consume. Look at the stock market. Brother Len Grice is a master in things about that. Wish he was here to help me. In 1 week, most recently, several weeks, record highs, record lows. Right? It's up and it's called a volatile market. Waves pushed by good news and that give positive projections. It goes up. Bad news, perceived bad news, negative projections. This volatility is not good. We have terrorists acting out crimes against innocent people, as you mentioned, even cyber crimes. Did you ever think you'd hear that term? Cyber crimes. And they're so devious. But they're out there. And again, it started little, and then you find out that 200 million accounts were hacked. You know? When we thought of hacking, it was going through the bush to get an opening, the path to hike. It's not the way it is today. Now, it all sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? And it would be so to those who need really to be led by the Spirit and influence of God. It's not. Because we have John 14:27. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give you. My peace I leave you. So we have an understanding of the plan of God. Those who do not, they're fearful. And, you know, we've been away for several weeks from the States. Everybody knows about a shutdown. And people don't have money. They had good jobs. They can't buy food. They can't pay their bills. And now there's an uproar. And this group is, want to go on strike and walk out. I understand that there's some kind of compromise for 3 weeks. Again, the waves come. Problems. And now it's going to be like a 3 week calming down, right? That tide's going to go back out. But we realize that if we have that faith, as we said, we can firmly trust Him. We're protected. We know we're about God. We're not fearful. Our eyes of understanding have been open. And we know all these things are going to take place. We are assured that when all of mankind is brought under God's kingdom, there shall be no more sea, no more restless people. No more anarchist. I can't say that word today. No more hatred, dissatisfaction, Everything will be reduced to complete law and order. Loving obedience, willing obedience. God has always required obedience, and He will in that wonderful kingdom. But it's not forced. It's a willing obedience. Psalm 89:8-9. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord, who is like unto thee, thou to thy faithfulness round about thee. So He's a faithful God. And then Psalm 89:9, the next verse. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves therefore arise, thou stillest them. So there is an assurance, and we trust that word of God. Before this occurs, we know it has to be that completion of the great time of trouble, the seas and waves roaring, pushed by that discontentment and hatred, selfishness and sin. The tools of the adversary. Look at Luke 21, verse 5, and really all the way up to 36. Men's hearts failing them for fear. The power of heaven and earth will be shaken, ecclesiastical and social. The kingdoms of the earth are going to go down, overwhelmed by that symbolic restless sea, and in total destruction of this present evil world. Not the earth itself, right? That abides forever. But all these things that stand in the way of God's wonderful kingdom. Symbolic of nominal Christendom, going down to destruction like a millstone cast into the sea, never to rise again. Look at Psalm 93:4. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, more than the mighty waves of the sea. Isaiah 17:12. Woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations, and to the rushing like a rushing of mighty waters. And then the next verse, Isaiah 17:13. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee afar off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. So, He's going to rid the world of these problems, of the discontent. What does mankind want? They want peace. They want love. They want to make sure their family is taken care of. They want to live in harmony. They want to be able to walk down the street and have nobody harass them or injure them. And it's going to be so. We know that lesson. We've already talked about it several times. You know, our Lord protects His very own. What did He say to Peter, which I think was mentioned just yesterday? Don't doubt this. O thee of little faith, why are you fearing? Why did you doubt? Matthew 14:31. He calmed the sea. He calms our experiences. He tempers them so they're not more than we can bear. And He's going to calm that sea for mankind. Now, the ship in our lesson, and that briefly, it's the experience of the true church. And also that great storm of trouble and persecution that comes upon the body members, endured now or yet may endure. And we know we trust in Him in all things. What did He say? Once again, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then I go to prepare a place for you if you're faithful, taking up your cross and following Him. Follow me, He said. We grow in faith and trust in God, then we do not fear. Psalm 46:2 tells us, He is our refuge and our strength in trouble. He is our refuge and habitation. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my strength. And further in Psalm 81, God is our refuge. He's our strength once again. He leads us in those green pastures, the still waters, His deep truth. And He refreshes us. So, brethren, at the same time, in a way, we have much in common with the world of mankind in this sense. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10, for all fall short of the glory of God. We have illnesses. We're prone to the same things in the world. Sometimes we go through a valley of tears and sorrows. But the consecrated children of God, these experiences are for a different purpose. To prepare us to be heirs and joint heirs with our Lord in heaven. These are given again to usward who believe, His goodness, His mercy. For me to live is Christ. And so when these waves are roaring and they may seem to overwhelm man, again, we recall those words. Perfect love casts out fear. We do not fear. Though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, this is Psalm 46:2, though the waters roar and be troubled, the bride of Christ will be protected and completed and glorified because why? They put their total faith and trust in Him. We have our Lord. Just as the ocean's not the same, you can look at the ocean today and look at tomorrow, even this afternoon, it's going to look different, right? But what do we have assurance of in Hebrews 13:8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have this faith once delivered to the saints. Hebrews 10:22. Knowing, and it's so important, Hebrews 13:5. We were talking there after the breakfast. We all have experiences. And we're touched by them because we have indeed a sincere love for one another. And He says, you have this kind of a mind, this kind of devotion in Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave you or forsake you. So, this is unchangeableness. I am that I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember, His plans originated from this wonderful attributes, the attributes of wisdom, mercy, justice, and love and power. He recognized there would be a need to have His Son lay down His life, and He said, here I am, send me. I am willingly going to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. And true faith and confidence in God and harmony with the Lord's experience is so important. Remember once again, these true words from Jeremiah 33:11, His mercy endureth forever. So we've seen many examples of the Lord's mighty power. Again, exercised in our lives. Exercised when He led the people across the Red Sea. From Exodus 14, verses 6 to 21, when Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, and the Egyptians that you see today you shall see no more. So the enemies of God, one day, even Satan, you'll see no more. So, let us take hope in that. Art thou not that which dried up the sea, we're told in Isaiah 51:10, and the waters of the great deep that had made the depth of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? And in verse 11 of 51 in Isaiah, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come up with singing unto Zion, with everlasting joy shall be upon their head, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and what? Sorrow. And mourning will flee away. That's that great resurrection and then being taught of God. So, brethren, we're going to wrap up our comments here shortly, realizing again that there's this great storm and then there's the calm or glory to follow. It's the theme of all the holy prophets. We mention men's heart failing them for fear. They're shaking, tearing down, insurance in Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So, let us strive to realize the wonderful aspects of the things that are taking place. Be not fearful. And look at Revelation 21:1. Look at Revelation 21:1. I'm going to close with a few comments after this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, as we mentioned. Looking back to Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The natural order of sea going against the land represents that social order of things as we brought out on the earth, including mountains and kingdoms. There's no more sea. No longer restless, unstable masses of people. You know, people, as we said, they're searching for something. That's why it's so important to witness. To those that may have a listening ear, they might not grasp it, they're not being called of God, but they're going to remember those promises. And these things will come to pass. We have a picture of the great new spiritual ruling powers of the future, Christ and the glorified church. So, brethren, remember, God will wipe away tears from all faces. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor any pain, for the former things associated with Adamic sin are passed away. And we'll have fulfillment of God's words through His Son in Mark 4:39, and He said unto the sea, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And may the Lord add His blessing.